Let's have a word of prayer before we continue. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to you this morning. You as the living Almighty God, who through your Son, Jesus Christ, made it possible for us to be saved and to be present in this building, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth because of what Christ has done for us. Father, that this morning as we commemorate the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, as we partake of communion later on, it's such a privilege, Father, to be able to look back and to see what Christ has done for us, to be reminded why we partake of communion. So this morning, Father, I pray that you will open up our hearts to receive and your minds to understand, so that when we partake of communion later on, it's not just because it's a meal or just because we have been doing it, because we've always done it, but because there's a reason why we do it. So, Father, please, we pray, speak to us through your word so that we may understand in Jesus' name. And enable me as your servant to teach your people, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, on the 1st of July, every year, the reason why we chose that date, I think I had a lot to do with it, is the day when Stefanie and I celebrate our wedding anniversary. Now, years ago, it used to be the July handicap, you know, when the horses race. And that's the way I would remember that we got married on the July handicap, on that specific day. That was a Saturday. So that's for me to remember, because I remember we got engaged somewhere in March, but I normally forget what the dates are, because I'm not very good at dates, but anyway. But we celebrate our wedding anniversary, and because it's a date, the date that we got married, it's a special date. Now, my problem is that I sometimes forget dates, or I just don't remember them that well. I sometimes forget my own birthday. So, one of the days that I should not forget, I can forget the day we got engaged, but I cannot forget our wedding date, because I'll end up sleeping with our dog in the kennel, because that's just one of those dates that you do not forget. Stefanie is not that tough. She won't kick me. Well, I hope she's not going to kick me out. She hasn't done it for over 30 years, so it's good. But it's a very special time. It's the date when the two of us came into a covenant relationship with one another, where we called God as a witness and the congregation, those who were there, as witnesses of what we were doing as we were coming into a covenant relationship with one another, a lasting covenant relationship until one of us would die. Very, very special date in our lives. And on our wedding anniversary, we celebrate this lasting relationship that we enter into with one another. Now, this morning, we have the privilege to partake of the Lord's Supper. And the question is, why do we do it? Why do we, as a married couple, observe our wedding anniversary? It's because it's special. It's a special day. There's so much that surrounds it. It's not just a day. It is a day filled with so much emotion, so much information, because we went through it together. Okay. When it comes to the Lord's Supper, when it comes to communion, every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of a few things, and that's what I would like to share with you this morning, just in short. Just take a few moments as we look at the question, or the answer to this question: why do we observe the Lord's Supper? Now, the first reason is actually very obvious, and that is that we observe the Lord's table because Christ commanded us to do so. That's why we celebrate it as an ordinance. It is something that the church does because it was ordered by Christ. Christ is the one who said that we should do it. If you go to Luke chapter 22, verse 19, we read the following. This is Jesus speaking. It says, "And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." You will hear it every single time we partake of communion. You'll hear these words. It's the words that Jesus used to basically tell the disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me. Remember me when you do this." Because Christ was actually instructing his disciples to do it. It was an instruction by the Lord himself. Do this. Partake of communion. Do it. And as believers, obviously we want to be obedient to Christ. We want to be obedient to his instructions. We want to do what he tells us to do. That's why we observe the Lord's table. That's why we observe communion as often as we can. So that's the first thing, is we do communion, or we observe the Lord's table, because Christ commanded it. And I believe that is more than sufficient reason for us to partake of the Lord's table, isn't it? Just because he told us to do so, we do it, because we are obedient to him. But secondly, we also observe the Lord's table so that we can be reminded of what Christ did for us, what he did on our behalf. When Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," what is he talking about? Do this in remembrance of me. Do this as you remember me. You remember that the disciples walked with Christ, talked with Christ, ate with Christ, lived with Christ for 3 years. They knew Christ. I think they knew Christ better than any one of us, because they were in his presence. They heard him speak. They heard him laugh. They saw him eat. They saw him interact with people. They were in Christ's presence. So when Jesus says, "Remember me," or "Do this in remembrance of me," he is calling his disciples to remember the time they had with him. The special, special time that they would spend with him that was about to come to an end when he was crucified. So, what would the disciples have remembered about Christ? I think there's a lot of things. How he healed people who were sick. How he spoke to people with compassion, with love. How he forgave sins. How he raised the dead. How he interacted with people in a general way. How he rebuked the religious leaders because they were supposed to know better and do better and they didn't. A lot of things that must have gone through their minds. But I think the thing that must have gotten stuck in the minds of the disciples is how Jesus would interact with each one of them individually. You know, what he did for them, or what he would say to them. Specifically, individually. I think that's something that they would have remembered. Because that's normally what we do, isn't it? If we lose a loved one, or we haven't seen somebody for a long time, and we think of that person, it is beautiful memories that we think of. We think of the beautiful things. We think of those moments where we interacted with that person, and it was beautiful moments. Isn't it true? So that's what the disciples would have remembered. Obviously for us, when we bring into remembrance the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot have that kind of memory about him because we didn't know him personally. We didn't meet with him. We didn't walk with him and talk with him and eat with him. What we know about Jesus Christ, as Brother Nelson so beautifully said this morning, it is written in the Gospels. We know about Jesus. We know what he did. We know what he said. Not all of it, but we know some of it. So when we are reminded in the Lord's Supper, then it is obviously we are reminded of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The fact that he died on our behalf, that he took our sins upon himself. Yes, that's what we remember. But we remember more than that. We remember who Jesus is, what he did, and above all, what he did for me. How he touched my life. Because that's what communion is all about. I am reminded that Jesus Christ died for me. personally. He took my sin upon himself when he hung on that cursed tree. I'm reminded of what he did to me personally, that he changed my life, that he took a sinner and changed the sinner into a saint. So communion is much more than just a memory of the fact that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. It is about what the impact is of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, on my life. What has he done for me? So when you partake of the bread and you drink of the wine, what we normally do is, yes, we are reminded of Jesus' death, but it's his death for me. It is the cleansing power of the blood of Christ that cleansed my sin, that gave me a clear conscience before God and reconciled me to God through the death of Jesus Christ. And it's all in this idea of being reminded of what Jesus did. We sometimes get so stuck on the death, man, the burial of Jesus Christ, and we forget that it's the death and burial of Jesus Christ that has an impact in my life. A lasting impact. So the reminding is the consequences of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ on my life. The reason why I can partake of the Lord's table, the reason why I am saved, is because Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, died on my behalf. He took my sin upon himself. He rose from the grave, victorious over sin and death, on my behalf, so that now I may live for him. That's the amazing thing. And we observe that in the Lord's Supper. It is so, so beautiful. Now we must remember that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper on the night when it was the Passover meal. Now the Passover meal was basically a memorial meal. It was a memorial of the fact that God delivered Israel from the bondage, from slavery to Egypt, and he delivered them and took them into the promised land. And it was on that same evening when they were having this memorial meal about the Israelites being delivered from slavery that Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper. And what he was saying is, this is also a memorial meal because I will deliver you from the bondage of sin. But I'm going to do it to you, each one of you, individually. I'm going to deliver you from the bondage of sin that is keeping you slaves. I'm going to deliver you and set you free so that you can now live for God the way that God intended his people to live. In the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of the fact that Jesus Christ was humiliated on my behalf, your behalf. He was tortured on our behalf. He was murdered on our behalf. He went to the grave on our behalf. And he rose from the grave on our behalf. He did it with us in mind. Absolutely amazing. That's why I believe that we observe the Lord's table to be reminded of what Jesus did for us. And the third reason why we observe the Lord's table is because we have an expectation that he is coming back again. There's this expectation, let's say, in the small print of the Lord's table. In the large print, it is about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, and that Jesus Christ conquered death and sin, and that Jesus Christ did it on behalf of his own people, and that he will deliver them from the bondage of sin and cleanse them of their sin. That's the headings, and that's the major, the big letters. But the small letters is, he's coming back. He's going to return. It's interesting what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 26, verse 29. This is what he said to them. I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Beautiful words, isn't it? I will not drink of the vine until I drink it with you anew in my Father's kingdom. Wow. This must have strengthened the disciples to such an extent where they say, wow, okay. This means this is the Last Supper. This means that he's not going to drink of the vine with us again, but we're going to partake of the vine again with him in the Father's kingdom. We're going to meet up with Christ again. There is going to be a reunion that takes place. I remember quite a few years ago, Stefanie and I went to her 10th reunion. I don't know how you say it. 10th celebration reunion or whatever. The 10th reunion of her school. I never went to one of mine. I was in Newcastle High School. We were just a boys' class, so we didn't care about that kind of thing. We don't care about it. But we went to her 10th reunion. And the reason for the reunion was basically for the matrix, that they could meet up from everywhere in South Africa, wherever they were, get together, spend some time reflecting on the past, telling one another what is happening in their lives, you know, that kind of thing. The idea is for a face-to-face encounter with people that you haven't seen for a long time. Just to see how they're doing, where they are. Remember those years? So this has been quite a few years ago, yeah? Facebook didn't exist yet. Facebook wasn't there. So you couldn't just go onto Facebook and just connect, you know, with all your school friends, that kind of thing. It wasn't there. So you had to have a reunion where everybody got together to be able to see one another face-to-face, eye-to-eye kind of thing. What Jesus is saying to his disciples, I will not partake of the vine again until I do it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. He says there's going to be a reunion of Christ and his disciples in the kingdom. So even though Jesus was going to die, even though he was going to be buried, he was going to rise again. He's going to enter into the kingdom and he's going to have wine with his disciples again. Amazing. For his disciples to have heard these words. Oh, okay, this is not the end. We're going to see Jesus again face to face. Oh, and what a day it was going to be. See, the Lord's Supper is a time when we are reminded of the words of Jesus when he said to his disciples, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And it's right there at the end. A few words. Until he comes. So in the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that Jesus is coming back. We're not going to be like the disciples. We're not going to have a reunion with Christ because we haven't seen Christ face to face, have we? But there is going to be this day when we are going to see him face to face. With the disciples, they're going to have a reunion and we're going to see Christ face to face. And whenever we partake of communion, whenever we sit around the table, whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that our King, Jesus Christ, is coming again. Wow. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we see him and meet him. You see, there is an anticipation built into the Lord's Supper. That's why we partake of the Lord's Supper with anticipation that Jesus Christ is going to come back and we're going to see him face to face and be with him forever. When we observe the Lord's Supper, someone said, and I quote, we are looking forward to that time when we will celebrate with him at his great banquet table. See, in the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that Jesus is coming back. That's so amazing. Right, so we observe the Lord's Supper because Christ commanded us to do so. But we also observe the Lord's table or Lord's Supper because it reminds us of what Jesus did. And it places an anticipation, an expectation in us of the coming of Christ. But there's a fourth reason. And the fourth reason why we observe the Lord's Supper, I believe, is because it involves participation. Participation of every single believer. That is something that you and I can all do together. We can all sing together. People try to pray together. It's hard, except if you do the Lord's Prayer and everybody knows it and you can all say it together. But if everybody says their own thing, it's kind of hard to hear what somebody is saying. But when it comes to the Lord's table, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, we participate together. That's when we get together as a congregation and we participate of the Lord's Supper. And by the way, I don't believe you can do it online. Because it's not together, is it? That's like having reunion with my school friends on Facebook. That's not really face to face, is it? That's why I believe when it comes to communion, that communion is when we get together as believers. When we participate of this one meal together. You see, all believers all over the world can partake of the Lord's Supper when they are gathered together. They can all partake of the Lord's Supper together. But it's important that the Lord's Supper involves participation of the believer. We are involved in it. It's not something that we are passive in. It's not something that we are, how can I say, we sit and we do nothing. No, we're actively involved in communion. You see, but it's important to understand that communion is not just an individual experience. It's not just me sitting or me taking the bread and me taking the vine, remembering what Jesus Christ did for me. It is us having communion. It is us partaking of the Lord's Supper. It is us as a collective that comes before Christ and partake of the meal that He informed us or commanded us or instructed us to partake of. Communion is not an individual or not just only an individual exercise. It's an exercise which includes all believers. Someone said it so beautifully. Let me quote. It says, "The Lord's Supper is to participate in a congregational act by which we corporately, affirm our faith, celebrate the complete work of Christ, focus on our unity, and visibly proclaim to the world that Jesus is the only way of salvation." Such a beautiful summary, isn't it? That's what communion is for us as believers. Communion is not about participation, or not just about participation. It is about how we participate. There are many who participate in the Lord's Supper. But the way they participate in the Lord's Supper is in an unworthy manner. That's why when the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and if you read chapter 11, you see it's about communion. And when you read about communion, you see very clearly that the Apostle Paul wanted them, the Corinthian believers, to understand how they should partake of the Lord's Supper. The way they do it was important, because what was happening in the Corinthian church was a mess. Remember that the rich would come to the church quickly and with their food, and they would have a quick meal and make sure that they finished their meal before the poor people would arrive. And when the poor people would arrive, the food would be done because or gone. That's one of the problems that they had in the Corinthian church. Another problem was, while they were participating in this meal, they were getting drunk. This happened, and they called it communion. They called it the Lord's Supper. That's why the Apostle Paul said, no, that's not how it works. That's not how you partake of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is something special. It's something where we show unity among one another. You can't have your meal and then when the poor people arrive, then the food is done. That's not how it works. It doesn't show unity that way. Because the problem in the Corinthian church was division. There were great divisions, disunity within the Corinthian church. And that's why the Apostle Paul clearly spoke to them about the way that the Lord's Supper was supposed to be observed. And if they observe it the right way, they would glorify and honor Christ. If they don't, it means that they are participating in something that Christ instituted in an unworthy manner. And that would be contrary to the intention of the Lord's Supper, where the Lord's Supper is supposed to be a meal where it shows that we are together. It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians 11, you will find the phrase "come together" 5 times. When you come together, 5 times. And you know in the scriptures, if something is repeated 5 times, it's normally because it's important. So what the Apostle Paul was saying to the Corinthian believers is, when you come together, it means it is corporate. It's not when you sit at home and you partake of the Lord's Supper at home. It's not when you are on holiday and you partake of the Lord's Supper all alone. That's not the Lord's Supper. It's when you come together as a local congregation. That's when you partake of the Lord's Supper. He's placing the emphasis of the togetherness of God's people. You see, we've never been intended to be a little coal that sits outside the fire. Christ has always intended for the church to be together, to do things together, to participate. And the Lord's Supper is no different. And when we participate together and we do it in a way that honors Christ, it shows to the world that there is unity in the body of Christ. We need to get together at the Lord's Supper. We show unity to the world that it exists within the body of Christ when we do it together. We participate in the Lord's Supper together. But not only does the Lord's Supper show unity, it also, it's also an act of proclamation. So when we get together in a community and have the Lord's Supper together, we are showing that we are one in Christ. We all partake of the one bread and of the one cup. It shows unity, but it's also saying something. It is proclaiming something to those who are looking at us. It's a public proclamation by a group of people. And what are they proclaiming? They're proclaiming the gospel. Because what is the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And when we partake of communion, what are we celebrating? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ on our behalf. So in a sense, without saying a word and partaking of communion, we are proclaiming, we are declaring that we believe the gospel, that we trust Christ. That's what we are saying in the Lord's Supper. By observing the Lord's Supper, we proclaim that to those outside the church, that Jesus Christ for us is the only way of salvation. We declare it, and we all do it together. Beloved, participating in the Lord's Supper shows unity, also acts as a collective proclamation of the gospel. But it also involves personal examination. Personal examination. The Apostle Paul speaks about it in 1 Corinthians 11:28, where he uses the words, "Let a person examine himself." What an opportunity for us. Before we partake of communion, maybe we've had a bad week or a bad few days or a bad few weeks. Maybe since we've last had communion, we've fallen into some serious sin. What an opportunity. Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, to allow the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts, to show us those things that are between us and God. For us to come and repent, bow our knees before Him, asking for forgiveness, be cleansed of that sin, be wiped clean, and come and partake of the Lord's Supper with a clean, pure, beautiful conscience that is clear before God. Because that's what communion is. It's an opportunity for self-examination. It's an opportunity for repentance. It's an opportunity for us to take stock of our lives and to see whether we are where we are supposed to be. Maybe it's a good time for us to rededicate our lives to Christ, where we rethink, does Christ still mean as much to me now as He did when I first got saved? Or have I gotten so used to the form of religion that I'm in that there's no more life in my religion? Beloved, let me conclude. I read the following summary of the Lord's Supper, which just beautifully summarizes what the Lord's Supper is all about. And this is what was said. Pardon me. The Lord's Supper is a very special memorial of the death of Jesus Christ for our sins. Instituted by Christ Jesus Himself, He asked His disciples to do it in His memory. Jesus told His disciples that He would not eat of the elements again until the day when He drank it with them anew in His Father's kingdom. The first Christians continued steadfastly in the observance of the Lord's Supper, just as they did in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in prayer. They came together on the first day of the week for that very purpose. Christians today should never lose sight of the significance of the Lord's Supper for us, because it's a constant reminder of the great sacrifice that Jesus paid for our sins. It is a communion or a sharing of the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a time of self-examination and rededication of our service to the Lord. And the Lord's Supper is a means for building fellowship with one another in the body of Christ, where we show forth our unity in Christ and we proclaim the gospel together. May such thoughts encourage us to never neglect opportunities to observe the Lord's Supper, but to continue steadfastly in so doing, proclaiming the Lord's death till He comes. Such a beautiful summary of the Lord's Supper. See, beloved, the Lord's Supper is special. We call it an ordinance because it was instituted by Christ Himself, but it's special. Very, very special. Something mysterious doesn't happen. Something supernatural doesn't happen in the Lord's Supper. It's a memorial meal. It's a meal of remembrance. But it's special. Very, very special. Because in it, when we observe it, there are so many aspects that we are observing when we partake of the Lord's Supper. We've seen that when we observe the Lord's Supper, first of all, we do it because Christ commanded us to do so. Secondly, we observe the Lord's Supper because it reminds us of what Jesus did for us. And we observe the Lord's Supper with the expectation that Jesus Christ is coming again. And then the fourth reason why we observe the Lord's Supper is because it involves participation from every single believer in a local church. Absolutely amazing opportunity for each one of us. And we have the opportunity this morning to partake of the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. May we all remember why we observe this amazing special ordinance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to you this morning in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the Lord's Supper, communion, as we partake of it this morning. May we be reminded why we observe it. And may it not be head knowledge, Father, but may it be heart knowledge. We observe the Lord's Supper because it's special. Special for each one of us individually, Father, but also special for us as a church. And special for all believers through all the ages and even today around the world. So as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, may it be what you set it out to be, this special memorial service or meal that we partake of. As we partake of the elements, oh Father, we pray, may we be reminded of what Jesus Christ did for each one of us individually. But may it also remind us of what Jesus Christ did for the church collectively. And this we pray in the glorious, wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.